This is Kent Patterson, KUNM. Tell me, you know, about the beginning, how you found out about KUNM, how you came to UNM, and the whole story there.
I came to UNM because they said they had TV and radio courses.
Okay.
And when I got there, I found out that those classes wouldn't be offered for a few years.
So
what happened was, you know, I was like totally disillusioned. And I answered an ad that I heard on KUNM. They were advertising for chicks to sharpen pencils.
Really?
So I went and I applied, and they suggested I get my FCC license, so I did. And when I returned with my license, they gave me a shift on Thursday from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m.
Now, what semester or year are we talking about?
This was in my first semester in 1969.
Okay.
And I was living on campus. I was living in Hokona Hall.
Okay.
And at the time at UNM, women had a 12 midnight curfew, and the men did not. So I had to go get permission in order to do the radio show. So the ACLU got wind of what was happening, and the curfew, they managed to get the curfew lifted.
Wow. You know, this is a history that people are not aware about here at this point, you know.
I'm sure. But that's how it started. And, yeah, it was definitely the first semester. Because what happened in the second semester was I also got permission to move off campus, and I moved off campus. This whole thing with the curfew and everything, I mean, I guess it was my first experience in fighting for equality.
Yes, that's a very interesting story that needs to be out there. Okay, so you started doing a late shift from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m.
I remember my first shift. I remember the first time that I did it, and I, you know, scared to death. And, you know, put the headsets on, and I went to play, and I heard nothing, and I totally freaked out. And this hand came over from the back and turned the volume up.
Who was that?
I don't know. Whoever had the shift before me.
Uh-huh.
It was very interesting times right then, you know, especially for women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was the beginning of the women's movement, you know, who had pretty much adopted me as a role model because of the ACLU case. So I've spoken in a lot of classes, you know, around the campus and such.
Do you remember who some of the activists were in the women's movement at that time in Albuquerque?
I sure do. The biggest one, I guess, that was... her name was Lucia Montague, and then she became Lucia Valeska. And she went on to be the director of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. And there was a woman named Diane Brown. How I met these people, it was in the fall of 69, and there was a big anti-war protest going on. There was one in Washington, D.C., and they were doing one in San Francisco. So a friend of mine from college, from the dorm, and I, we took the bus to San Francisco.
Okay.
And we met this woman named Nancy Adair, and she kind of took us under her wing and took us out to Sausalito where her family was, and she turned out to be, you know, produce an incredible movie called Word Is Out, which was one of the first gay movies. You know, I went to the movies when I was living in Boston like a few years later, and the credits came on, and I almost fell off my chair. I had no idea. You know, I was definitely on a ride, and I think it pretty much began at KUNM.
When you were doing that show, what kind of music were you playing?
When I was doing the folk show, I was doing a little bit more contemporary, like the Pentangle and Burt Jansch. And I was into Maria Muldaur. Joni Mitchell, you played some Joan Baez or whatever. Tom Rush. I had just come off of Woodstock that summer, and then I went straight to college. So it was perfect for me.
So you attended Woodstock?
I did.
Who did you see over there?
Richie Havens, Tim Hardin.
Yeah, I have an interesting story about Richie Havens. I met him, hung out with him for a while. He knew my neighbor in Albuquerque. I didn't know that. And he popped up there one day, went over there and hung out with him. And he was doing a concert at Pope Joy Hall that night and, you know, put us on the guest list and everything.
So, cool.
Yeah, he was a really nice guy.
One of my favorite stories of going to see music when I was, you know, at UNM, I went to see Little Richard, and the opening act was Elton John.
Wow. That must have been pretty early on, right?
It was probably 69.
Now, you were there for the UNM student strike, right, in May 1970?
I was there for the bayoneting on the mall, yes.
Did you see that?
I didn't see that. I just saw the blood on the mall. After that happened, school was canceled and everyone went home. I didn't know if I was going to come back to UNM after that.
So you jumped from radio over to TV.
Actually, there was a new station starting in Boston called WCVB. It was Boston Broadcasters Incorporated. And I was hired. From there, it just went on and on and on. So it was crazy. And then I called my friends in New York, and they said, I think this is a good time to come down. And I came down to New York City. I had a meeting at ABC News and got a job in 10 minutes.
Wow. And then you worked with Cronkite and Ratter?
I worked with ABC News for 3 months. Then I got a job. I was hired at NBC News for a short period of time. And while I was at NBC News, I got a phone call, and I was like, who could be calling me? Because I didn't know what the exchange was myself. And it was CBS offering me a job, and so then I went over to CBS. And I was at CBS for 5 years. And yes, I did work with all those people.
That must have been interesting.
It was amazing. It was, I can't even begin to tell you how amazing it was to work during the periods of time. And I love stories, and a lot of the people that I met were, you know, from the golden age of television, and they loved me because I loved stories, so the stories were just phenomenal. Uh-huh. And then I worked on some amazing shows, and a lot of, you know, historic things that happened in our country. Like, I was working on CBS News when Reagan got shot, and when John Lennon was killed, and it was just an amazing time.
Yeah, you know, actually, I'm having a little section in this history about the night John Lennon was shot, right? You know, where were you?
I was in New York, and I lived right across from where he was shot. I got a call from my brother, who I think, I'm trying to think, because my brother was a punk rock star. I'm trying to think if he was in Toronto or if he was in London by then. And I got a call, woke me up. And I was kind of half asleep, and my brother said to me, you know, John Lennon's been assassinated. And all I could think of was John Kennedy's been assassinated. And I just was like, what are you talking about? He goes, no, John Lennon was assassinated. And I turned on the radio, and they were playing Beatle music. And I saw the Beatles play twice, so it was just, it was amazing. And I ran into John Yoko. I lived on Madison Avenue, and one day I was, you know, on my way to the bank, and across the street, John and Yoko were walking the other way. And I went, wow, John Yoko. And then I went to the bank, and I was coming home, and they were coming right for me. So I had to talk to them.
Yeah?
I was forced to talk to them.
And what did they tell you?
You know, you had to be cool. I met Paul McCartney a couple of times because he lived in my neighborhood, so I'd run into him every once in a while. And, I mean, it was just, you know, I've met lots and lots of people, so it's been quite the ride.